Good to see everybody here this morning, and yeah, glad to see you too. Snuck in on me. Okay. But anyway, we do have some visiting with us, so we're glad you came our way. I want to talk this morning about spiritual dropouts, and there has always been a problem in the Lord's church, and some drop out and still go to church. And so we're going to discuss that. We're going to talk about that. You know, today's a great concern about boys and girls dropping out of school before they finish. And if you want to find out, just ask Greg back there. He can tell you about that. And he knows this isn't good for society. And so, and because society realized that, they spend millions of dollars trying to correct this problem, yet people still drop out of school. And so it's a big problem, and society needs to be concerned with this, because these people aren't getting the education. And you know, if you want to go out and get a job, one of the first requirements, you've got to have education. And people find out, and so it does lead in our society to a lot of crime and a lot of welfare and all sorts of problems. And so the problem of dropouts is not limited to our schools. And yes, we're going to be talking about the church. The Lord's church is having a dropout problem of its own. And yes, we recognize that. We know there's a lot of faces we don't see anymore. And there's various reasons. Some have gone somewhere else. Some have moved away. But some have just stopped coming. They just don't like it. Or whatever's going on. And so there's problems. And someone in some report study said that we lose about 50% of our new members every 7 years. And yeah, I believe that. A lot of this is because you remember the parable of the soils in Matthew 13? Talk about those who never obeyed the gospel. That's the seed sown on the wayside. But then we have that who falls on the rocky soil. In other words, there's no root to hold them, and so therefore, they basically wither and die and just go away. And that's where a lot of this category comes in. I know one church down in back in Houston, they really talked about the fact that they continue to have many baptisms throughout, about 150 baptisms every year. And yet their congregation size never increased. Now, that definitely tells me there's a problem, and we should understand that. So, yes, we do lose our members. We get some, just basically, they work off of pure emotion. Yes, I want to be saved, and then all of a sudden they find out it's a little bit difficult. They got to put forth the effort, and they're not willing to do that. All right, so we do lose a lot of them. Now, why do people leave God and drop out of His service? That's a question that should concern each and every one of us. Because we're talking about souls. And souls are being lost because they turn away from God. Souls are being lost because they do not respect God enough to give Him the honor that is due Him. So, we're going to look at this. What causes someone to become a spiritual dropout? We're going to look at several reasons. Contrary to popular belief, the Bible teaches a man can drop out or fall away from grace. You know, that's one of the doctrines. The comfort doctrine is once saved, always saved. You can never fall from grace. You can never fall so far as to lose your soul. That is one of the false doctrines taking place in this world, and that's what we call a comfort doctrine. Next year, we're going to talk about that. And we're going to have a lot of lessons on this false teaching out there that gives people comfort. That gives people the idea, well, I can never be lost, and so they can do whatever they want. Or I'm going to have a second chance. I can do whatever I want, I'll get right in the second chance. In the millennium, I'll get right. And so, Galatians 5:4 talks about ye who would be spiritual, or who would follow the law, are severed from grace. So yes, we can fall. There's over 100 passages in the New Testament that allude to the fact that take heed lest ye fall. I mean, how many of those do we need to understand that, yes, you can fall from God's grace? And it's choice. It's a choice people make. It's not like there's nothing they can do about it. No, it's always by their choice. They can fall out of the grace of God. And if they fall out of God's grace, they're not going to heaven, despite what this world teaches. All right, Peter tells us the latter end is worse than the first. Those who were obedient, but then obeyed the gospel and then turned away. He says that's just, you know, he made the reference to the sow that returns to its own vomit, or the dog returns to its vomit. The sow returns to wallowing in the mud. I mean, the latter end is worse than the first. Before, you were just lost. But then you become a Christian, you have the hope of salvation, and then you give that up. So when you get to the fiery torment, what are you going to be thinking about? I could have. I mean, that's probably one of the phrases going to be used more than anything else in hell. I could have. I could have been faithful. If I had just stuck it out, I could have been in heaven. I could have been with God. I could have. I mean, just think about that. That's got to be some sad words to think about. The Hebrew writer says that some were departing from the living God, as we read in our quotation. So James speaks of people being in error and then being converted from the error of his ways. Yeah, James 5, 17 through 20. We're to assist people. When we see someone in error, we've got to help them. And if we do help them, the scriptures tell us that we cover a multitude of sins when we save a soul. Jude tells us we need to go out and snatch them out of the fire. As Christians, that should be our duty, to help these people. Now, if they say, I don't want anything to do with you, I don't care anymore, okay, we've at least tried. But there's a lot of people depart and we don't even try. And that's not right either. So in every era of history, every bit of time, men have dropped out. You know, Eve was deceived by Satan. Here Eve was, the perfect paradise that they had all the food they needed. Everything they needed was provided for them. And there was only one rule. One rule. It's not like today where we have thousands of rules we have to be concerned about. There's one rule. Don't eat of this one tree. Everything else you can do. But she was deceived by Satan. And it didn't take a lot. You can just tell just by reading. I mean, where was she? She was hanging around right there at that tree. She was dreaming about it. She saw it was good for food, or at least it looked like it was good for food. Now, I can tell you, I've seen some fruit that, okay, it looks good, but you bite into it, and I'm not going to do this. But still, she had it in her mind, that's what she wanted to do, and all she needed was somebody come along and said, oh, don't worry, you won't die. Yeah, the first lie that was spoken. But that was enough for sin to enter this world. See, Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And we realize that. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of their lack of faith. They could have gone straight into the promised land. And they sent some spies in. And they brought back this grape cluster that had to be carried by two men. So, huge amount. A land of plenty, flowing with milk and honey. But then they said, but there's giants. They're strong, fortified cities. We can't do anything about this. Joshua and Caleb say, wait a minute. We've got God on our side. We can do this. But no. The people weren't going to do it. So they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Because of their lack of faith. Let's just notice some reasons why people drop out. And chances are you're going to recognize these. A lot of these you're going to, you're going to understand some of these things. See, they failed to count the cost. See, before conversion, they failed to take the cost into account. You know, Luke 14, 25 through 35, Jesus talks about taking up your cross and following after him. And then he uses two illustrations. He says, it's like the man who decides he's going to build a tower and he spends his money and buys the foundation, and then the foundation nothing's built on it because he runs out of money. He didn't calculate the cost. Another illustration Jesus used was the man, the king who had an army of 10,000, and here's this army of 20,000 coming to take him. So he sits down and consults with the generals, do we have the ability to defeat them? If not, then he goes and let us seek terms of peace. And so counting the cost is very important. When we decide and we walk down the aisle, or we decide, I want to become a Christian, you've got to understand there's a cost that is involved with that. It's going to cause you some heartache with a lot of your friends if you decide to obey the gospel and give your life to Jesus. It's going to cause some problems. They're not going to like it because they like to party. And I don't do that anymore. They like to talk dirty. I'm not going to do that anymore. And so there's going to be a little friction between you and your, quote, friends. And it's going to be difficult. It's not easy. We have to put forth an effort. And that's why we're told to be diligent, to add to our faith. You know, the virtue, the knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. We got to do all this. And we've got to decide this beforehand. Do I have the resolve to do it? Do I have the courage and the conviction to serve God the rest of my life? And a lot of people do not take that into consideration. They just get all emotional for the moment. Oh, I want to be saved! Without considering, they're going to have to make some changes in their life. And they don't take that into consideration. They fail to consider denying themselves. Matthew 16, 24 and Luke 9, 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's a problem right there. The idea of daily. A lot of people don't like that. Okay, on Sunday I'll go follow him. Sunday morning I'll go to church. And that's it. After that, they don't follow Jesus anymore. Jesus said you've got to do it daily. And that's where a lot of people drop out. Now, okay, Sunday morning, okay, I got to go to church. And that's it. But after that, what is their life? It's involved with the world. So they failed to realize that 99.44% won't do. In fact, a lot of people just give 5% effort. Hey, that's good enough for me. And they think, well, God ought to accept that. At least I'm doing something. I mean, showing up to church on Sunday morning, oh yeah, that gives me some bonus points. God's going to reward me for that. No. You go through the scriptures, you see all the commands God gives us, and there's a lot of commands. A lot of things are involved that we need to be doing to be faithful to him. And it's more than 15. It's more than 25. It's more than 95. It's more than 295. There's a lot of things we need to do if we want to go to heaven. Jesus said we've got to do it all, right? He says you teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he gave us the Holy Spirit and the apostles to write these things down to explain. You've got to do it all. And some people think, well, I'll just do some of it and that'll be good enough. When you're getting ready to stand before God, are you going to feel like, have I done enough? See, if you haven't given 100% effort, you're going to have that question in your mind. It's going to be there. Have I done enough? Have I done enough? If that bothers you, then do more. Another problem is these people fail to listen to God's messengers. And it's always been a problem with God's people. God continuously sent his prophets, but the people rejected their message. time and time again. Jeremiah 7, 25 through 28 talks about that. God sent his messengers, but you rejected them. And that's what God told his people. And it continued on. We can just go through the whole scriptures. They do not listen to God's messengers, but will listen to those who will tell them what they want to hear. 2 Timothy 4, you know, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. By wishing to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers of their own accord. And so that's what's going to happen. And people don't want to listen to the truth. They're going to listen to people who tell them what they want to hear. That's not going to help them get to heaven. And that's real sad. They're going to be, oh yeah, my preacher said I'm okay. There's a lot of people walking around who live a different lifestyle than we do, who the preacher said, you're okay, you can continue in that. Guess what? When they're burning in that pit of darkness, they're going to wonder, why did they tell me that? And they still do it today. They still teach this era. And they fail to listen to the messengers of God's truth. These people fail to develop virtues of a Christian. Here's one thing about it. A lot of people, they become Christians, but then they don't do anything. They do not grow as they are supposed to grow. They do not add to their faith all these qualities, which we just mentioned a few moments ago. They become short-sighted. And that's what 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 12 talks about. They become blind and short-sighted, having forgotten the purification from their sins. And then he encourages them to do these things. As long as you do these things, you shall never stumble. So that's what we find there. These people also fail because of wrong association. And here's something that we have to be mindful of. If you're not associating with Christians, who are you going to associate with? You're going to associate with people out in the world. Now, the question is, you've got to ask yourself, do those people out there care if I go to heaven or not? Ask yourself that question. Do those people of this world care if I go to heaven or not? Now be honest. I'll tell you what the answer is, and you ought to know yourself. No, they don't care. But do the people in here care if you go to heaven or not? Absolutely they do. So who should you be hanging around with? You should be hanging around Christians. All right. See, this was Solomon's problem. Solomon hung around the wrong crowd. He got with his young spiritual advisors. He hung around with his 1 Kings 11, 1 through 13. Yeah, he had some problems. Most of us can barely deal with one. He had 300 and 600 concubines. I mean, it's crazy. But it can also be our problem when we hang around the wrong group. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And we know that when you get a bunch of people together, bad things can happen. We know the mob mentality. We've seen it too many times on the TV news in recent years. Somebody just starts getting up, they get riled up, next thing you know, fists are flying, bottles, Molotov cocktails are flying through the air, somebody's getting shot, killed, stabbed, beaten up. We have to make sure we're around people who care for one another. And here's another problem, and you probably, hopefully you'll recognize this. They fail to be led by the Word of God. They don't spend time in the Bible. They might realize, okay, I need to be spending time in the Bible. I need to know what the Bible has to say because the Bible is the Word of God. But so many people just fail to read the Bible. They fail to learn from the Bible. They continue in their ignorance, and that's not good. They're not like the Bereans. You know, Acts 17, 11, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica because they receive the word with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. In other words, those people were being taught something and they wanted to verify. Okay, what has been told to me? Is it the truth? How do I know? You go to the scriptures. So failing to study God's word so as to handle it aright. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us why we need to do that, so that we can handle the word of God properly and understand what it's talking about. And that includes this little subject called hermeneutics, the study of Bible interpretation. In other words, we got to recognize a lot of things. Who is speaking? Who is being speaking to? All sorts of factors. I mean, when was it spoken? Was it spoken in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Here we are in New Testament days, and some people want to go back to the Old Testament and bring some stuff forward. And they want to make some principles from the New Testament apply back then. It doesn't work. We've got to remember to put things where God put them. Things of the Old Testament, God put them in the Old Testament. And Jesus eliminated the Old Testament when he died on the cross. But what's going to happen for those in ignorance? It's going to be destruction. You know, those who are ignorant, they might, the phrase ignorance is bliss. We had a bulletin article one time. Ignorance is bliss only lasts so long. As long as you stay in ignorance, you go along, you're feeling good. But when you get to judgment day, it's not going to be blissful anymore. These people fail because of the demands of this life. And this is something we all have to deal with. We all have different issues, whether it's doctor's appointments, hospital appointments, teacher conferences, or whatever. Consider the parable of the sower and the soils. We read also in Matthew 13 and then Luke 8, 9 through 14. And so, yeah, they get choked out by the things of this world. And that's something we all have to deal with. They fail because of the desire to be rich and to hold on to their riches. Now, this might apply to some in this congregation. It might. I'm not aware of it, but yeah. And who wouldn't want some more money? Absolutely, we would. What we can do with it? We can do a lot more. But riches can present problems. The rich young ruler, he came up and said, what do I need to do? And all of a sudden, he went away sorrowful because Jesus said, one thing you lack, sell what you have and give to the poor. He went away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to do that. See, Paul warns against such. He warns against this in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. He said, warn those rich people not to be conceited or selfish with their money, but to share with all. John also warns about worldly desires. Do not love the things of this world, for they're all going to perish. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They're all going to perish. When all is said and done, it's going to be gone because they are of this world. Our affection needs to be on something greater than this world. Our affection needs to be upon God. Like Colossians 3 says, set your affection on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. They fail because sin is so deceitful. See, we read this morning. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we all know, we've had lots of lessons on sin, what it does. It takes you farther than you want to go. It keeps you down there. It keeps you wrapped up, and it's hard to get rid of it. In fact, the only way to get rid of it is through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way to get rid of sin. And that happens initially through our baptism. When we decide to put our and commit our life to Jesus, we're baptized into his body and our sins are washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16 tells us that. Another reason a lot of people fail is because of false doctrine. See, the teachers are doing nothing more than giving the people what they want to hear. Exactly. They accumulate these teachers. I want to hear something that says that I'm okay. That's all people want. I want the preacher to tell me I'm okay. Doesn't matter what I'm doing out there. None of his business. None of her business. I just want to be told I'm okay. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3 tells us that in latter times, false teachers are going to show up. And that's true. They do. And with all the deception of wickedness, they're going to come out there, you know. And somebody that really gets under my skin is that Joel Osteen. He must have had plastic surgery to put that smile on his face all the time. Oh, God just loves you so much. And he's never told anybody the truth. Never. He is a consummate false teacher. Oh, but people just love him. 20,000 people show up to listen to him babble in Houston. And millions more turn on the TV or listen to him on his radio. Oh, he's so good. He's so concerned about me. He wants me to be wealthy. See, once again, there you go. That personal, oh, help me out. But that's false doctrine. Paul warned the Ephesian elders that the problems they encounter would come from their own midst. We don't have to go out those doors to have problems, do we? No, that's what we're trying to avoid in here. But Paul warned even the elders from their own midst. Grievous wolves, that's how he described them. They're going to cause people to lose their souls. And that's just as bad as a grievous wolf. Here's another problem. Some people fail because they are set in their own ways. We kind of talked about this in class this morning. People set in their own ways. They don't want to change. And they think everybody else ought to change to be just like them. See, Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. Proverbs 1:30-33. See, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. You talk about the mantra of life, you got it right there. People will not accept God's counsel. They spurn his warnings. And so they're going to eat the fruit of their own way. They're going to get their just rewards. They're going to get what they deserve. And it's their own waywardness that's going to destroy them. Another reason we have spiritual dropouts, and this is probably the main reason you probably would have considered, they just lose their love for God. When you consider what God has done for us, how can anybody lose their love for God? Well, because they get so seeped in their own ways. See, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, that's something. A lot of people who go to church, they don't seek out his commandments. It's like everybody wants to concentrate upon what is God's plan for me. But does anybody consider what our plans are for God? See, that's the problem. Everybody, what's in it for me? What can I get out of it? What's it going to benefit me? If it's not going to benefit me, am I going to do it? In any walk of life. If something is not going to benefit you, are you going to waste the time doing it? Honestly, I don't think anybody will. And really, if your boss says go do something, if you think it's a waste of time, well, I still want to keep my job, so you're going to do it. That in a way, that does benefit you because you get to keep your job. But nobody's going to do something that doesn't benefit them. But keeping his commandments? See Revelation 2:4. As he spoke to the church in Ephesus, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And it's hard for some of us to comprehend how someone could say they love the Lord and then sometime later say, I don't love the Lord. I don't care about God anymore. Just amazing how some people can do that. Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. That lawlessness, what is that? 1 John 2:3, sin is lawlessness. It is iniquity. Because of iniquity, because sin is increased, most people's love for God will grow cold. Another thing, they fail because of inactivity and complacency. Alright, there's a lot of people who are not active in the Lord's work. They don't get involved. They don't do anything. They don't study their Bibles. They don't even take the time to pray most of the time. And it really doesn't even bother them. Just because one claims to have faith does not help them get to heaven. You know, a lot of people say, I love the Lord, right? But do their actions prove it? Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but their deeds deny him. One must also do the works that God has commissioned them to do. You know, James 2:14-26 talks about works and faith being so vital. They have to work together. There's a lot of people out there teaching all you need is faith only, and that can save you. A lot of people teach that in this world. But you can't be saved without doing what God tells you to do. And that's the part they leave out. Oh, just have faith and you'll go to heaven. Yeah, you don't have to worry about all those works he wants you to do. Even though the scripture tells us we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2:10. Alright. Now the question is, are you a spiritual dropout? Maybe I've stepped on your toes. Maybe not. But I guarantee you, you know somebody who is. You know somebody who is a spiritual dropout. And they may be at church every time the doors are open. If you are a spiritual dropout, the Bible tells you how to come back, right? Repent. Return. That's what God said. That's what God sent all of his messengers. Return to the Lord. Come back to God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. God is there. He wants you to come back. So repent and return. That was their message 3,000 years ago. It's a message we have today. Repent and return. Acts 8, talking about the Simon the sorcerer. Peter told him, you need to repent of what you've done. Luke 13:3, and Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jeremiah 3:22 issued the lament that, well, God sent his messengers, but they would not listen. You know, there's a lot of times. He said there in chapter 6, verse 16, stand in the ways and walk therein where the good ways are. That's the ways of God. But then he said, but this people said, we will not do it. Then in Jeremiah chapter 33, he starts talking about in those days, he said, I was your God. I spoke to your fathers, but they would not listen. They would not follow. Don't be guilty of that. Do what the Lord wants you to do. See, there's no better time than right now to get right with God. As we read from our scripture reading this morning, today is the day of salvation. Don't let this day pass without getting right with God. And that's what our message to you is. Don't take that opportunity and let this day pass without you being committed to the Lord once again. You have that opportunity. We all do. Make that decision in your life. That's what I'm going to do. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're missing out on some great blessings. Some people think they have blessings just because, okay, I have a car, I have a house, I have food. Some people consider they have blessings, and maybe that's one way of looking at it, but they don't have any spiritual blessings at all unless they're in Christ. And the only way to get into Christ is to believe that He is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins. You need to change your ways and stop the sin in your life. Confess His name. Then be baptized into Christ. And then live faithful the rest of your life. It doesn't do any good to live faithful for 40, 50, 60 years and all of a sudden, I give up. That's not going to be good. So what is your situation? You want to get right with God? We can assist you. We can pray for you. We can baptize you. Everything's ready. So whatever your need might be, we invite you to come. All together, we stand and sing.